significant, and this is indiscriminate. Is it narcissistic? Arson isn't always meant to be destructive, it's an art form. This is my attempt to start the fire that makes you art more, and logic less, because logic since the dollar has been off of it. I'm offering a
Right. I think we are on the air, like always.
Oh, really? This entire time?
Yeah, it's good to be on the air.
Oh, well, I pretty much feel like I just shed the secret of my entire plan, my little final solution that I've been working on for some time. And now that the whole world knows, I pretty much have to thwart the whole idea. And, well, fuck that then. That's 5 years wasted. What's up, yo? This is Zachary Winchester, the magical turtle, here with Vosto. I recently took a blood oath in the woods by a pond. My sister cut me open with a shard of glass, and I bled onto a contract that stipulates that I am not allowed to use the social network on any day but today, Sunday, until 2014. Now, did I have a problem with this before? Yes. I have an addiction to communication that transcends the mouth speak. It turns into keyboard malarkey, and sometimes I'll spend the hours of 4 a.m. through 7 a.m. just ranting nonsense on the Facebook, and no more. Well, only on Sundays now, but no more, yeah, because once it, no, there's no, yeah. Oh, and the stipulation, the thing is, if I violate, if I use Facebook for anything but event promotion between Monday and Saturday, I have to get the Facebook logo tattooed rather large on the small of my back, which is known as a tramp stamp here in America.
I saw your video, my friend, but you didn't use enough blood. I think you need to cut a full finger for something like that and then put it back on again.
Here's the fucking thing why there wasn't so much blood, and I agree. There should have been more blood. She cut me at a place where the tissue, there's not much capillaries. Somebody explain the science of it. It's a place where it doesn't bleed much, but it was a deep fucking cut. Like, this is forever going to be a scar.
Yeah. It's quite deep.
It's very deep, but there wasn't much blood. It is really dissatisfying. And the first comment that we got on that YouTube page was, not enough blood pussy. And
it was enough for the signature, though.
Yeah, there was plenty of blood on the contract. The
signature. Written in pencil. So will you be able to resist without the continuous satisfaction of the illusionary of communication that is being found on Facebook?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be all right. I needed it to be a rule. I'm a person who operates well under threats. I operate best under threats, under pressure, under deadlines. I'm a person that needs to have a gun held to my head to do the right thing. But once that gun is held, I'm great.
So a Facebook tattoo is not something that you would actually desire?
I do not want that on me at all. No, that would really upset my life. That would fuck the whole thing.
Have a corporation symbol on you for the rest of it. There are people who do that, you know, with McDonald's tattoos and all sorts of things.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about Federal Reserve notes and getting a lot of them to do something that I really don't want to. Prostitution. I, at this point in my life/career, would be willing to prostitute myself for a sum of Federal Reserve note fiat currency that would allow me to forever be able to escape having to prostitute myself again. And can I put a figure on this? For $1 million, I'd get a retarded tattoo. Anywhere, just as long as it's not on the neck or the face, I'd get something that I highly disagree with. I would get the Obama
portrait on your chest.
Yeah, I would get Obama right on my pec. I would get the O, you know, his symbol. I would get that pretty massive, and forever. I would get a tattooed on like the Nazi armband. Only it would be the Obama O, and yeah, throw a swastika in there for good measure. You know, I don't fucking. If we're talking with $1 million, I would be able to fucking alter the course of history. At least for myself.
Swastika is good, though. It's a symbol of peace and harmony.
Yeah, I'm pro swastika by all means. It sucks that those assholes had to come and fuck it up for everybody. But I'm
original scumbags. Yes.
I don't think that they did fuck it up forever. I think that it's retarded. I hate it when people. I've heard people actually make the argument that no, the swastika, you can't take that back. They forever corrupted that. That is now a symbol of evil. It's fuck you, man. That is so. That's bullshit.
Yes, symbols have duality inside them. Every symbol. Just a matter of choice. What do I want to do with the symbol? What side do I want to explore? Like, it's the same with the eagle. You know, the eagle is a widespread symbol throughout all the cultures in the world. And some say it's a symbol of Latinity, but the Latins got the symbol from older cultures and so on and so on. And each culture attributed a new meaning to the symbol. So I'm wondering what this symbol mean for the Americans, because now...
freedom! God damn it! Fucking freedom, bro! Something you will never understand because you're not from America. And even if we brought you here... And even if you started a business that was completely legitimate and you completely operated within the free market system for fuck, give it 10 years, you'll never truly be American, and ergo, you will never truly be free. That's what the fucking eagle, with all of its pride. You see, when an eagle is perched, it has a look on its face that says, you'll never be as free as me. Faggot.
Yes.
That's what the eagle means to us. I'm just being honest. Paper. You know, some Americans don't want to tell you about our real manifesto. Agenda. But I'm telling you right now that
the real agenda.
We here in America, we're all quite certain that none of you are free. Even if your laws, like on paper, say that you can do more shit than us and not be punished and thrown in prison, still. There is no reality thing that can happen that will make other places as free as America or other people as truly liberated as us. Okay, New Zealand, yes, I'm talking to you. Iceland, yes, I'm talking to you. These facts and shit, they just don't really add up when it comes to when you look in that eagle's eye, you can see. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and the rest of you can pretty much go get fucked. Anyway. I'm sorry if the truth has made you silent.
No, you just said anyway, so that means something is about to happen after the segue. Anyway.
That means segue? I was driving home from this thing, mildly soul-stealing venture. No, it wasn't soul-stealing at all. It was when I went, dude, I farm kombucha now, bro. I am super into bro with it.
You're farming what?
Kombucha. It's like
kombucha.
What's you put that? This mushroom into tea, and then you add sugar, and then you cap it off, and you put it in a cold, dark place, and it fucking makes the liquid all infused with billions and billions of little microbial civilizations and ecosystems, and then you drink it, and you get all
special
of
powers.
Yeah, special powers from the micro life forms that enter you, and they do stuff to your body and shit.
Dude, you should tell me a movie on that or something.
You want me to film my kombucha farming so that you can see the glory of? All right, yeah. I don't even know if it's gonna work out though. I may suck
the bro with the bro voice.
I've always sucked at things of that nature. But I'm trying to get better.
Or with the Terrence McKenna voice. One or the other.
Even the most lumpen amongst us can feel the tug of the transcendental and the transformative. I believe in love at first sight because I love my mom since I first opened my eyes. There's all of these uber sentimental, some of them extremely cliche and you would say retarded meme photo things on my Facebook wall, which I'm allowed to use today because it is Sunday. And some of them are clever and some of them are kind of heartwarming and most of them are just absolute bullshit. Yes.
I agree. But what is your opinion about the monkeys who went down from the trees and discovered the mushrooms and became Neanderthals?
The stoned ape theory? I think that makes perfect sense. Now, I'm not... I wasn't there, so I'm not sure if that's the reason, the genesis for consciousness.
That's what Terence McKenna says all the time.
Yeah, and I think he makes a great point for it, and I think it's completely feasible. But I don't know. I'd say that it's more feasible than anything that I've heard, other than aliens seeding the Earth with life. I like that as well. I think that
sounds good, too.
Yeah.
But what if it's actually evolution? What if it's evolution?
What do you mean? That we were fucking around with our thumbs one day, and then we just realized, oh, I can pick this stick up. Oh, I can sharpen it. Now I can... And then we did a bunch of stuff, and then before you know it, we were typing.
Yeah. What if that happened?
But maybe mushrooms helped. You know, because, well, where do you get from the point? I think that the stoned ape theory and the psilocybin having a part to do with it is the unexplainable point of, like, you know, monkeys doing monkey shit. You know, I've watched a lot of programs on apes and how they behave in their little tribes and whatnot, and they do some human stuff. They fashion little primitive tools and whatnot. But at what point did somebody start thinking? At what point did somebody say, like, you know, bro, do I really have to farm? You know, do I really, or, you know, the first thought of, like, should I really kill this intruding ape from this other tribe? Like, do I really have to? Maybe that would be wrong. I don't know. I think morality came way later. I think morality is so new.
Morality, it's a term invented in sort of like philosophy and psychology, which is like 300 years old or something. Well, psychology is new. It's new. It's, you know, evolved from philosophy, and philosophy came out of religion. So the first morality you have is in religion. So it's quite old. But right, it was not called morality. It was just right and wrong. Well, morality means something that brings progress to a group of people, you know. And if you are doing something that is not against the progress of the human people or of the group of people, then it is immoral. So if I am peeing on your face, then that means that I am stopping you from doing activities inside the group by distracting your attention with my pee. So therefore, the group is being obstructed as well, you know, so that's immoral because it disrupts the progress of the group. So there are some gay people who say that, you know, when they are being accused that they are immoral, they say, no, it's highly moral, but it's actually not. But anyway, I'm not really a believer in morality, though.
You mean like that shit's gay, bro, or do you mean like homosexual?
No, I mean homosexuals. Like in the theory of morality, which I'm not a believer of, you know. I don't believe in morality. But according to morality, you know, if it doesn't bring any progress to the group, which what does group need to do? It needs to multiply and consume.
So you're saying that gay folk are obstructing our progress some way? I'd say just the opposite. I'd say I'm so sick of people breeding. So sick of it. Fucking yeah. Every fist-dragging Neanderthal feeling like
that is true. That is true. I just said I'm not a believer in morality, but that's what morality means, and it's immoral. Are you a believer in morality? I mean, I choose not to be, you know. So I don't think that it's good to be all for progress and consumption and breed more and shit like that. I think that's all like communist and shit.
Yeah, I know. I rarely hear people define morality as progress and what's productive for the species.
No. That,
I hear more people saying like, "What is you know, what is good if there is some something observing us that can rate the ethics of every one of your decisions." Like that's what most people that I am exposed to. That's their idea of it.
I just told you the definition, you know, like the definition that is official, the official one.
You told me your definition, you told me.
No, not mine, not mine. The official one that I heard in some kind of the psychology book, you know.
That was a beautiful citation in some kind of a psychology book.
Yeah, like I remember I heard it, you know, and it stuck in my head. And that's why I said, because
America,
people don't know what morality is, and that's how it is defined. I just got the research.
In America, we have this thing called the DSM, which is the official list of all psychological disorders and whatnot. I think it's complete fucking dick dribble.
Yeah, also, conspiracy theorist is inside of the psycho, I don't know, in that list, I think. Because they say that if you are a conspiracy, like I've heard the psychologist say this, if you believe in one conspiracy, then you are more likely to believe the next one and the next one, and eventually you end up believing every conspiracy theory ever created, and it's just like one big master plot inside your head, and that's basically, it becomes an illness, you know, that you are a prisoner of. So it's kind of true in a way, you know, but not, I don't think that believing in one conspiracy theory or several that seem plausible, you know, I think that is good, you know. But yeah, it's true that if you believe in a few, you can end up very easily believing everything and not even searching facts that contradict the conspiracy theories. So you're like, I researched a lot. I researched for years, man. You cannot defeat me. I research. I know that this is happening and this is happening. But actually, you know, I only researched what I wanted to research and just cherry-picked everything. And nothing, no information from the official sources. Just what the conspiracy guys told about what the official sources say. God damn it. I cannot express myself good today.
Yeah, so back to the stoned ape thing and how that leads with the morality thing. What, you know what overrides my morality, bro? Fucking genital friction. I've discussed this many times before. And maybe it's just because of pre-abundance of that, because I feel like there will come a time in my life where that genital attention from human beings that I desire and find desirable. There will come a day where that will be an abundant thing, and I will get a bit jaded to it, and I won't be in the place that I, you know, am now, where it's like that. That is it's a resource that is not by any means abundant. Maybe because of the cold, vapid municipality that I live in. But anyway, fuck, man. I've always used the example that if I had like a red button here, if I had two buttons and one was red and one was green. And the red one made it so, no, I'm doing it wrong. I'm doing that metaphor wrong. If I had a button that I could push it, and like 1,000 strangers around the world, it wouldn't even, you know, it could be anybody. It could be people that I know. It could be whatever the fuck. If I had a button and it said, you know, you push this and 1,000 innocents will immediately, their hearts will stop and they will die. But also if you press this, this fucking garage door will open up and there'll be like, you know, 30 beautiful virgins that you will then have your way with for a set amount of hours. Or it would have to be a lifetime because we're talking about people's lives here. I'd probably, you know, like I would like to think that I would not do that, that I would I would like to think that I would do the moral, ethical thing there and be like, that's not worth others' lives. But at that point, I think my reptile would kick in and I would, there would just be no concept of any kind of, I'd go with the reptoid there. I would follow my I may follow my reptoid. I don't know, you know, but I know that at times that gets so overwhelming, but not to the point where there's people out there who will coerce people into sex though. And that has never, I mean, by fucking no means ever would I fucking do that, you know? So maybe I'm wrong to assume that I would choose the reptilian inkling if that type of an unlikely scenario were to happen. But yeah, or hunger. Like I've been kind of accidentally fasting more. Like I just find myself in a time where like, holy shit, I haven't eaten in a fucking day. And And it gets, I've been experiencing the depths of hunger more than I have in my entire fucking, you know, really watered down human experience of being a suburbanite in America. I mean, I never really can go long times without food. And it, like the actual like hunger pains, like, holy shit, I didn't know that this was such a thing. It's like you can feel your stomach eating itself. And I wonder what type of atrocities I would be capable of if I were allowed to get really, really, really hungry. Would I hurt someone? Would I eat a person? In the you know, literal sense? I don't know. So I'd like to think that I'm ethical, but I've never really been put in a situation where I've been entirely desperate.
And, right. I think
I live in a place of extreme desperation.
I'm going to take the definition back because, you know, I just saw that there are different definitions, actually, depending from what point of view do you take it. If you take it from a socio-cultural evolution, group selection, you know, political, religious, all kinds of fucking moralities everywhere. So yeah, it's like, not one fixed definition. It's a psychology definition everywhere, and it's different in every country. I don't know. And the thing is, we define the morality as like the human back, you know. So it's like a majority theory more. And I believe that with the internet and with all this, you know, when we have the access to information and all that, you know, the morality will become, will not be so engaging anymore. You know, it will not be so communist anymore. It will be more open to everything because we are the ones who decide how it is in time. Like, if more people start to think, you know, more openly towards what other people choose to do, it will become the new morality, and it will defeat the current system that we have. What are you doing, my friend?
I'm responding to a comedian who wants to come and perform at my show tonight, and I'm explaining to him that there is going to be a Red Wings game. The Detroit Red Wings are the hockey team of the municipality that I currently reside in, and people give many fucks about it. That's a thing of conversation. Like,
Red Wings!
People care a lot more about a Detroit Red Wings game than they give any fucks about moral issues or, you know, domestic political issues and whatnot, or let alone things over the ocean, because things stop being real once they leave our borders. Yeah. I'd say that's a good 70% of America is, you know, the stuff that happens outside of America isn't really like happening in the same way that if it happens in America. Because this we within our borders is the real Maya world. And all of you are pretty much just, I mean, you're side notes. There's Boston bombing happened, and how many people died in that? It was very small.
People.
Yeah, a few. There were a handful of folk. And then the next day, there was a bombing in Iraq that killed like 44 people. Nobody gave a single fuck about that. And actually, I've actually noticed to mention that something happened in Iraq or one of the places that we're currently occupying and fucking around with. If you say that there are brown people in distress and you say it in the same sentence as you know, things that are happening to Americans in America, it's actually offensive. It's like, you're making it seem like you think they're.
Whoa, that's so William, man.
No, I've been in situations where I've mentioned, well, don't forget about the Iraq bombing. It's like, you mean to those Iraqis, the ones that did 9/11? Like, man, I've met so
God
many
damn people. It.
Like, there are really people who think that if we're attacking somebody now, it's because they did 9/11. They're like, they could use that excuse for another decade or two. Like, we could just go into, we could have gone
multiple
into Libya.
Countries.
We could invade Romania right now, and they could say that it's because you guys did 9/11. So everybody, the whole fucking world, to some degree, has blood on their hands if something happens here in America.
Everyone did 9/11.
We'll find you. What did Bush say? We will hunt you down, and we will kill you.
We do not negotiate with the terrorists.
Goddamn right.
Yes. I also have a friend in the United States who is like, he has some roommates and he can't even talk on Skype because his roommates will make fun of him because he will end up at some point speaking stuff like this with me on Skype. You know? And his friends will totally make fun of him, like call him terrorist and stuff like that. So he prefers not even to come on Skype anymore. He's like chatting all the time.
Well, I feel comfortable because I feel like I'm very, very plainly, very easily, very overtly an idiot. And I feel like it's very easy to categorize me as an idiot. You would have to really sift through all of the things that I have recorded and have said to find to put together 10 minutes of anything that could, you know, be deemed sane or you know, acceptable to the masses. I pepper everything that I do with complete malarkey and stupidity to the point where I feel like I'm very clearly an idiot. So I can say, you know,
that's not what idiot means, man.
Explain to me the official definition of idiot from your fucking science book. God damn it!
No, not from science book. But it's basically, you know, the people who are just—it's like being dumb, you know, the same thing. Like, you can't speak correctly, you are basically most like me, you know. You can't tie two propositions. You are not capable of doing complex, you know, concepts. You know, the idiot is just the basic guy who eats the hamburger and watches the soap opera and stuff like that. You know, that's what an idiot is. It's someone who doesn't know what's happening around him, you know. Like, completely incapable intellectually to even understand.
But here's the thing. To the definition of the idiots, I am the idiot. You know, from the definition of the people that you just described here in America, the shit that I say makes me a fucking idiot. You know, so, I mean, I could say that, oh, right back at you, bro. Like, I feel the same way. But I live in a world where...
An idiot is a mentally deficient person. Or someone who acts self-defeating.
Have you ever seen me try to drive?
Are you driving in a counterproductive way?
I am just plain. I am the true definition of the word retarded. My abilities behind the wheel are retarded. I have.
But that I can't drive either. But you know, that's just because I've
been for a fucking decade.
I can't do. I mean, I can't do it because I get panic attacks when I am in the intersection. I don't know why. I just get fucking scared.
And I'm not saying that driving is where I weigh intelligence. But to the folk that I am currently amongst, I am an idiot. I am a fool. I have prioritized fucking abstract concepts.
You're a fucking genius, man. You should just tell them back that you are a genius.
I have prioritized abstract malarkey over that which is concrete and real, which is the accruing of funds, seeking of Federal Reserve notes, compiling them in a digital, to have them digitally manifest themselves in a bank account where I can then call upon the glory and power of the hours thwarted for these things. But it's not forwarding hours to them. That's work. Work is what you should aspire to, goddammit. You need to get a fucking job, and you need to do what you can to get the stuff, man. And if I hear you say one more fucking thing about chemtrails, you know.
Yeah, the stuff sucks, though. It's just stuff. It's boring. I don't know. It can be stimulating at some point. Like, if you get a Ferrari and you go on a racetrack, that might be fun, you know. Yeah, but to get there, you can't do it with the job. You need to be born in a rich family or have a very successful business or something like that. You can't acquire that by having a stupid job.
Yeah, I thought it's a human resource.
Right.
Like the seven Jew bankers in my basement right now filing my tax returns?
Yes.
I value those guys. I don't talk to them. I rarely feed them. But, you know, that's a possession that I can feel proud about.
Yes, yes. Possessions that are not really very expensive, but they are very cool and interesting. Now, geniuses end up usually in the basement, that alone, or something like that. So be careful what you choose to do.
I will not stand for being called a genius, man. I will not even stand for that, dude. You should see some of the things. In your definition of genius now, science book definition of genius, it allots for me to be almost worthless and handicapped in most of the things that most of the people on this planet.
I'm
not talking about the seeking of the accruing of funds now. I'm talking about simple shit like getting from this chair to the bathroom. I am just a stumbling, bumblesome fuck.
Here it is.
Me live. You've heard me talk and shit. You have never seen me live. You've not seen the 86 blundersome fucking tragic mistakes that I make every day doing simple tasks.
Everyone does that.
Fucking idiot can.
Everyone does that. But a genius is a person who displays exceptional intellectual ability, creativity, or originality. You know, typically to a degree that is associated with the achievement of unprecedented insight. So this is the definition. So you actually, you know, I see you talking highly interesting. You like mold shit together, intellectual with comedic, with you know, all kinds of aspects, and you also play with the fucking ball at the same time in a very interesting way. So you do two things. You always do two things at the same time that are very complex even to learn to do them separately. So you're a fucking genius. Shut up.
Playing with the fucking ball makes me a goddamn genius. Well, I'm going to fucking take the ball to my next court appearance. I'm going to be contact juggling. And hopefully they'll be like, we need to let this kid off. He's a genius. This could be the one who cures cancer.
You can juggle and you can rap at the same time. You can do very interesting things at the same time and do them very good. So stop defending your.
I feel like a genius has more discipline though, because you know what I'm doing right now. I'm looking through the photos of a former fuck friend of mine, who is not the most substantive person in the fucking Tri-County area, let alone the world. She's kind of a goon actually, but I'm now distracting my mind from the important communicative thing that's happening to look at pictures of, I'm going to stop now, but I'm a fucking, I have zero discipline when it comes to things. I feel like that's an intelligence thing. I feel like that is being able to recognize that this is not serving me. I will do the right thing now. You know what I think measures intelligence? I find you to be an incredibly intelligent person. The way you can speak a language that is not your first, better than 98% of the idiots, and even the people that I would consider to be on the, you know, higher up the intellectual spectrum here in America. I have never even aspired. That's the discipline part. And definitely haven't executed learning any other languages. I feel like an asshole for that. I don't just feel like dumb. I feel like an asshole for not, because I should know Spanish. I should learn Spanish.
Spanish seems cool.
I should learn Spanish. There's Spaniards around me all the time. I could do a nice little thing and talk to them in their fucking, I could show that I care.
Yeah, you can say like, hello, how are you? And probably some stuff, which makes them feel happy. You know, when you talk in a man's, language, it makes the other person feel very, you know, cozy inside. Anyway, IQ tests, I think IQs are not relevant to the geniusness of someone. I think the connections that you do with your brain, with your nerves capacity, you know, those are that is the special stuff, how you decide to use the instrument in which you live in right now.
I used to be able to throw a hatchet really well.
Throw the hatchet. Okay. So that's useful skill in post-apocalyptic scenario. That would be a very useful skill. Defend your stuff with the hatchet.
Here's a scenario that has been being brought up by a lot of folks. Have you heard about the Department of Homeland Security in America purchasing like millions of hollow point rounds?
What are these? So this called what you call hollow point rounds?
They are bullets that explode.
Oh, okay, I get it now. I get it. I can already feel mental telepathy.
They explode when they enter you, so you're pretty much fucked if one of these hits you.
Yeah,
and they violate the Geneva Convention, so you can't use them in war. But they use
them on the civilians. Yeah. In the riots.
I see, and I'm always one to say that, you know, I'm always on the more calm, okay, let's think this over type of thing. You know, governments behave in a shark-like way because that's their fucking nature. That is the nature of the beast. Let's not get all riled up and whatnot. You know, because what I always think of with things like that, like they're saying, oh, they purchased millions of rounds body armor, and there's all these plastic caskets, you know, at the FEMA camps, and you know, whenever somebody says things like that, I always ask the question: well, who are the actual humans who are going to be carrying out this plan? What fucking
psychos?
Huh?
Psychos, my friend.
No, but who the actual soldiers?
Ah.
Fucking wing of our military.
I'm just doing my orders.
I don't know of any, like, I've met a lot of soldiers. I know Marines. I've known Special Forces people. I've never met a person that I think would follow those orders if they were told to actually, you know, go and unleash hell on citizens.
It will take an enormous amount of brainwash to be able to make him do that, you know, on his own civilians.
And now I've been distracted by turmeric.
By what?
Turmeric is really good for you, from what I know. Turmeric.
I don't know what that means.
Well, this is a botanical of it, but it's a spice used in a lot of Indian food, and it has does tons of great shit. You know, I'm not going to list all the things.
It's very good. Very good for you.
I'm not going to list all the stuff that turmeric does, but it does great things, bro. And I put that shit on everything. And I feel great, you know? I just feel great. How about Alex Jones? The DHS thing has led me to the site of Alex Jones, InfoWars.
Anyway. What?
You know, are you familiar with Alex Jones?
Yeah, he's the hamburger guy speaking about conspiracies.
Why is he the hamburger guy?
Because he's talking a lot like this, and I like my hamburgers. And
listen, I'll tell you, I like my cheeseburgers. Medium raw. I like my babies warm and scared. You have to understand, when the helicopters come down to 2,000 feet and they unleash the nerve gas, you better have a hamburger in your hand or you're fucked. Fucked. Although he doesn't curse.
Yeah. Here's something interesting I found related to what we were talking about earlier. In the philosophy of Kierkegaard card, genius is contrasted with an apostle. And you know, an apostle is like someone who follows, right? So I think most of the people today are followers, you know, the ones who think that you or me are an idiot, you know, they are apostles. And according to the Kierkegaard philosophy, genius is contrasted with an apostle. So it's the exact opposite. Which is in our favor. Anyway, in the Nietzsche philosophy, however, genius is merely the context which leads us to consider someone a genius. In Twilight of the Idols, Nietzsche writes, great men, like great epochs, are explosive material in whom tremendous energy has been accumulated. Their prerequisite has always been, historically and physiologically, that a protracted assembling, accumulating, economizing, and preserving has preceded them. There has been no explosion for a long time. So no fucking genius for this for a long time. This way Nietzsche follows in the line of German idealism. Right. So you need to have the explosion, man. You don't need to be the follower. And you have the explosion. And people with the explosion today are it's made in such a way that you are going to have a shitty life. And, you know, even if you have a great idea, it will be stolen by some corporation. And they will use it and make money on you and you will just die.
Yeah, well, I was pretty certain about the death thing. I've had that penciled in I planned on that.
No, but seriously, man, look, like nerds have invented a new type of dance. Like nerds invented that combination between slow motion and break dance with waves and, you know, all that stuff. And now you see it in Hollywood and movies. With the muscly type dancers and who stole the nerds who invented it, they are nerds and they are not being worshipped, you know. And instead, you have the 14-year-old girls wanting to be with these types of people that are in the movies that are actually fake and they are not original. They are just copycats. Profiting on the ideas of the real geniuses. Right. My glorious speech has finished.
That was lovely. And I'm with you for the most part. I just have a fucking relentless need to always inject cynicism and snarkiness. I am a smarmy, snarky fuck. No, I'm actually not. Here's the thing. This is what I've realized about my brain chemistry and how it reacts with certain drug molecule things. When I smoke marijuana, I don't have the need to be a dick. Like, because when I'm sober and I'm a little bit jaded with the human experience, I'm just like, oh, I'm doing the life thing again. Okay, I need to find ways to make this interesting. Usually the way I make it interesting is by being an overt asshole, sarcastically.
Cynically.
Facetious. I'm facetiously acting like a dick. And then I watch people's reactions and that entertains me.
They get mad. So you're trolling, basically.
Yes, I'm just a living troll most of the time. But when I smoke marijuana, I shed that, and I tend to be more sincere with people. I tend to be just more pleasant and whatnot because what marijuana does for me is it makes the most mundane things captivating enough to entertain me. I need to be high pretty much to go to a movie theater and sit through a movie and have it be the thing that is taking, 98% of my consciousness for, upwards of 2 hours. That won't happen without marijuana.
So
I will become distracted.
Inception was boring, you think, without marijuana?
Huh? What's boring?
You think Inception was boring and could not be watched without marijuana?
I actually have tried to watch Inception many, many times and always fall asleep. I enjoy the concept. It's great. I always watch it. I fell asleep in the theater, at an IMAX theater where I paid extra to have like surround sound, fell asleep, had one of the craziest fucking transformative dreams of my life. And then I was high and I was up, but I was also coming from work where I had worked from midnight to 8 a.m. So I was all loopy and shit, but I fell asleep then. I rented it like several times, fell asleep every time. I've yet to see it front to back. I think that's something about the movie. I'm thinking about sleep so much during it that I do.
So you think The Matrix is boring also?
No, Inception is not boring. I'm not saying Inception is boring. I'm saying it has this crazy quality that makes me fall into repose. Okay. I like the movie. I've liked every time I've watched it. I've been thoroughly captivated. But then at some point I start dreaming, and I wake up realizing
in a dream, and you're in another dream, and you wake up in another dream.
It shows the intergalactic aspect of the film. I think they've put something in. I think they're doing it on purpose.
They just stole Carlos Castaneda's ideas, but that's okay. At least some of the people, many people, got to see another type of different concept that they weren't familiarized with earlier.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm talking about The Art of Dreaming book with Carlos Castaneda. Really good Spanish guy, I think. Yes. I'm not Syak. I'm just pronouncing it wrong, probably. Norman in the chat. It's an E there somewhere. It's like either Castaneda or Castaneda. So it's kind of weird. I'm not really sure. I should Google it really fast. But I read that book like 3 years ago or something. And then Inception appeared. The book was already written many, many, many years ago. It's just that I read it quite recently because of my inability to read interesting, complex stuff before like 2007, because I was too young to even understand. Right. My first book that I read, you know, like, from the beginning to end was something like 7 days in Shambhala or something. 7 apocalyptic days in Shambhala, which was basically saying that in 7 years there is going to be an apocalypse and everyone has to meditate or some shit like that. But there were interesting aspects to the book because it was like a story, and there was this guy going to Tibet. Then that guy went underground and met these aliens, you know, they were white and lived in the hollow earth and talked with the guy and taught him the, you know, how they work and what their concepts and, you know, beliefs are and how their technology works, sort of. And it was a really interesting book, and I read it. And I don't really read many books, you know. I just read, like, you can count them, really. I might have read, like, 10, 15 books. That's all, you know?
I have extreme trouble reading. That's the marijuana. You know, the only thing that could make me read many books or to be able to really get through, I rarely get through books, man. I just can't. I cannot read fiction.
I cannot commit. You know, that's my problem. I cannot commit to something.
I will stop at some point. I will become distracted within minutes. And I know that I'm just laying out that as my flight plan, and I'm making that a reality by accepting it as the way I am. But it's like, really, I've tried really, really hard, and I'll be holding the book, and I'll just start shaking with just, holy shit, I could be doing so many other things. There's this whole world, and I'm sitting here looking at a page, Jesus Christ, you know, and and the fact that I'm a writer as well, that I like constantly, I'm just looking at this, and I'm thinking about what I should do, what I should create myself. I have read very few books, but if I ever do have a jail time thing happen, I think that I will benefit a lot from it because I will read.
That's good. You're a fucking shaman, man. You're a shaman, and shamans, you know, they already got it. So when you read something, like, that's what the stuff that happens to me when I read something, I already know what I read. So what's the point in reading something that I already No, you know, it just doesn't make sense. So it's like losing time. So I just end up doing something else, you know. But some books can give you a real insight if you find them. If you don't find them,
I want more jargon in my brain, man. I'm sick. I enjoy, and I think I still will, even if I could summon the jargon of certain scientific and you know, sociological concepts. You know, there's times where I just like a bunch of sciencey shit, and I'll say it in a very simplistic, almost intentionally making myself seem like, you know, just a total layman. I do that often. But a lot of the times it's because I don't know the jargon words. I don't know the technical language of a lot of things that I think are really important. And that's something that I think I could benefit from books. maybe more schooling. But school is an incredible waste of time. To me, I see as well, because like when I'm in that classroom, I just wish they did more. They took more time to try to make it take less time. Like, okay, you have a bunch of minds collected here in this room now. You have us for an hour, a half hour. Fucking make it count, professor. You know, and I wasn't seeing all the times I've been in school. There's so much just downtime of like, dude, pump shit into my brain now. Like, send us home with the readings and whatnot. If you tell us we have to be learned about all this shit by the time we come back, okay, those of us who care and want the good grade will do it. But like right now that you have all of our attention, do something substantive with every goddamn second, you know? Same way I feel about performances. I like
trying to. There are good professors, you know, the places there are. Yeah.
They exist, by all means. It's just like it's really just the way most programs are, that it's a certain amount of time, it's passing the test, it's things like that. I think that like if I was infinitely wealthy, I would totally seek more higher education, and I would very quickly make the decision of, is this classroom and this professor, is this going to be something that I will benefit from in terms of just knowledge? You know, I don't give a shit about certificates. I don't care about, you know, titles and whatnot. I want to be a person who knows how to verbalize things. Because I mean, what you're saying, I don't want to toot my horn and say like, oh, I'm a shaman. I know stuff. I read and I already know what the next page is going to say. I mean, I suppose there's truth in that, but that's a really, really hubristic thing to say. But I feel like what you have to benefit from reading other people's works is being able to verbalize it in a way that translates to other humans. You know, the telepathy thing doesn't always. It's not that it always doesn't work, or is it? There's very few people who are ready to accept the fact that you can say a lot without speaking, you know?
You know, in my country, the professors are really good because they don't have any private schools to work for, because there aren't really any private schools, so they end up working in the system over shit salaries. And the ones that are really, there are some rare cases when the professors actually leave the country and study in some big universities in England or something like that. But yeah, we got good professors. But, they just feed you too much, man. They like, finish this, 100 pages essay until, next week. So, stuff like that, I can't really accept. I think you need to make it more, take all that information and make it more, small but dense at the same time, like, conclusion-based rather than a million phrases or,
Phrases are helpful, but I get you saying the big picture. Like, I have mild dyslexia. I just recently saw a documentary about it, and I hadn't thought about it since it happened, like when I was a kid, when they were saying there was some other like more specific term for it. I have a thing where when information enters my brain, I automatically flip it. So I used to all letters that were supposed to be facing a certain way, I would do them the other way. And dyslexia is seen by most people as a thing where you right is left, left is right. And that is part of it. That does happen. But really, it's this whole thing about learning the big picture as opposed to the small intricacy. It was a really interesting documentary that I saw about it. But in terms of me, like, I actually do have a thing that it constantly affects me. Like I was saying about my bumblesome mistakes throughout the day in driving. You say right to me, and my brain will be certain that you meant left. It just does the exact opposite. It's not a mistake. It's like, I'm certain. It's a misfiring. It's crazy sometimes. Like, and it goes with any kind of opposites. Like, I'll constantly do that sometimes. And I used to be really afraid about like public speaking things that happen. Usually when it happens on stage, it ends up being silly and funny. But sometimes it's a real misfiring, and it's caused me to make many, many wrong turns and many, many wrong statements throughout my life constantly. But it's an interesting thing how, the fuck was I going to say? Maybe it just happened.
It's all good. We finished the show. Anyway, So let's say final words or something. Yeah.
Okay, the final words. I'm about to go eat with my mother and family for a beautiful Mother's